We're rolling. No countdown, buddy.
Do we have a cold open?
Yeah, you gotta project a little bit.
Do we have a cold open?
No, you don't have to sit leaning over the mic. You can sit up. It's bad for your posture.
Do we have a cold open? Should
no.
Should I say it in French?
Yeah. Do it.
Je suis Ada. That's what I learned in French.
Ada?
Adam.
Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's your name, but I thought you were going to say cold open.
No.
In French.
Foie?
Le foie. I don't know.
Ouvre?
Ouvre. La foie, ouvre. Hello and welcome to episode 241 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada. Sitting right next to me, as always, is
Adam.
Also in
Vancouver. Well, you said that.
Well, I know, but
sitting next to you.
We're trying to create a word picture.
Implies that I am sitting next to you.
We are here. This doesn't get more Canadian than this. We're sitting on a pile of logs.
Yep.
The true story.
Real logs, like real wood, chopped down trees.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't... Was there confusion? What do you think people meant? No, data entry. Just a bunch of log books. No, we're 100%. We're sitting here at the beach.
Yes.
The nicest place in the whole world, Spanish Banks, doing the episode. Part of episode number 2 of our summer series.
Yes.
So...
The short and sweet.
Short.
Sweet.
Not so much. Could be, but Amazon.
Yes.
That's how we start.
Yeah, get your logs.
Get your logs on Amazon. Are we still rolling?
Your axe. Get your axe. Chop down some logs.
I'm sure you need like a Husqvarna.
Yeah.
They probably use a Husqvarna or a steel.
Is that a chainsaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To deal with this pile of logs we're sitting on here. But no, we're here down at Spanish Banks. Just a great place down here with the family. They're off having fun and...
Podcasting.
We're podcasting.
Yeah.
So, what's going on, Adam?
Not much. Actually, a lot.
That was a quick turnaround.
Yeah, I bought myself a new-to-me used camera. We were talking about last time borrowing your 5D, and I decided to do one better and just picked my own up from...
Okay, that was for next episode, but let's get into it right now.
Okay.
So you bought a new 5D.
Bought a new...
Used new, 5D
yeah,
Classic.
Yeah, yeah. And sold my T2i and the Sigma 30mm lens that only goes on a crop sensor camera.
Uh-huh.
And then basically flipped that for a used 5D that was in fantastic shape. So now I only have full frame. I have got the full frame 60, and then I've got a couple of lenses, 85mm, 70-200, 50mm, and a 19-35, all built for a full frame. And now the 5D Classic, which will be my take everywhere camera.
Did you bring it today?
I brought it today to the beach.
As did I.
Yeah.
I brought my... Which lens?
85.
Same.
Yeah. Wow.
That's it.
Yeah, we should have talked about that ahead of time. Covered our bases.
Well, no, that's kind of my go-to. It's funny because oftentimes, you know, I would bring the 30mm so I could get more of the environment. But I feel like I've shot a lot of the environment. Now I'm just trying to focus on... people pictures.
Yes, me as well.
That's my thinking on that. So,
love it.
You got rid of your 30mm.
Yeah.
Which has kind of been with you for a long time.
Yep. Yep.
Was it emotional?
A little bit.
Really?
No, okay. It wasn't. No, it was basically I wanted that other camera a lot more than I wanted to keep the and I knew there was going to be no purpose of me keeping both backup cameras. I knew that T2i was literally going to sit on a shelf, and if I was ever contemplating taking it out, I was still likely going to take the 5D. I like the field of view of the full frame now that I'm mm-hmm. used to it, and I shoot a lot with the 60. So, just wanted to basically, move on, and so that's why I decided to go that route.
I'm right on the edge of that too. I actually considered, after you and I talked about bringing the 5D, bringing the 40D, I was considering bringing all three cameras and just offloading the 40D here. Although the 40D is going to die. It really is, looks like it's on its last legs for real this time, which means I would just throw it in the garbage, mm-hmm. or actually it'll be my kids to play with probably.
Yeah.
But the 30 mil lens I will then have no use for, same as the situation you find yourself. And I figured I probably have a better chance of selling it here in Vancouver than I do in a small town Germany. But you don't get a lot of money for them now.
No. Going rate is the max you're going to get is about $300
for that lens. Yeah. Which I at this point I'd be happy.
Yeah.
To get,
and more likely probably $250. Yeah.
Once again. Yeah. Be fine with that.
Yeah. So that's sort of the going rate. And again, great lens if you're someone who is going to shoot on a crop sensor camera. If you can pick one up for that price, it's also a good buy on the other end. If you aren't shooting full frame, you just want a super sharp 30 millimeter, which acts like a 50 millimeter on that crop sensor camera. Great lens to have. So
yep.
I was kind of torn about, you know, getting rid of it. But again, 50 mil on the full frame, to me, I still prefer. If I have to choose between the crop with a 30 mil or full frame with a 50 mil, I prefer the 50 mil.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Me too. So, but shooting with the 5D, you shot around with it a little bit.
Yep.
What do you think?
I love the images, but like everybody says, yourself included, the LCD is wildly unuseful.
Yes.
Unhelpful. Whatever you want to say, it is completely dismal, but you have to
try. It exists.
Yeah. And like you say, you can get an idea for composition. Color is horrific at best. And so you basically just have to trust the histogram. And I could not be more thrilled about so far what I've seen come out of the camera. Once it's on the computer, it's amazing. So
it is.
To correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I was sort of thinking about it is the sensor size is the same as the 5D Mark II, right?
Yes.
And the same as the 6D, like it's the full frame sensor, but they're only putting 12 megapixels on that full frame sensor, which to me means that each megapixel ultimately should contain more information. Is that something along the lines, right? Or I don't know how that works, but I figure if you pack 24 megapixels into that same sensor size, aren't you going to lose something along the way?
In theory, I don't know if the sensors are like the little, they're not pixels, but the photoreceptors or whatever they're called. I actually don't know. I don't know if they're the same size or now if they're the spread out. My thinking is that the actual sensors would be the same size and thus touching.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you just said, oh, all right, we're going to put 12 in and just spread them out,
there's
going to be, you know, just gaps where you're not getting any
image.
Right. So, there's always this talk about, you know, like pixel density. Versus and that's something I never bothered to get into because the images coming out of my 5D Classic I love.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And it seems like it's almost got a sort of softer kind of, like when I mm-hmm. take the, like, because I was shooting two cameras with some of the pictures I took, and so I had sort of, you know, basically the same, I mean, different lens on the camera, but I was shooting 50 mil and 85 mil and with the same settings more or less and going back and forth just because I wanted something a little wider and then something a little closer. And so when I looked at the two images between the 6D and the 5D with, you know, most of the other variables the same, it has almost like just a softer look to the images.
It's not even a soft. It's. I know what you mean.
I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, it's not soft like you want to sharpen it.
No.
It's soft like it kind of looks, to me, it looks a lot more like film.
Yeah. And even there's a different grain at the same ISOs that is actually appealing. I know everyone says that grain is bad, but it's not a bad grain. Even in ISO 100, there is a little grain to the... That's the ice cream.
Do you want ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to grab some ice cream. We'll be right back.
Time out for ice
Just
cream.
Get somebody over here to hold you down.
But you've noticed that, right? Even at an ISO 100, there is a little grain, which just doesn't even exist on the 6D.
And it's not even like... It doesn't even look like digital noise sometimes.
No, it doesn't look like digital noise.
No.
It's different than that, yeah.
Yeah.
But like it. And again, not being a film camera person, I there's something to be said for the look to the photos that come out of that older camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not exactly like film. There's a whole different set of parameters that you deal with when you shoot with film, but... It is. I really, really like it.
And for the price tag that they're going for, I mean, I I was watching lots, and I was basically, I missed out on a few because they just get snapped up. I was on Craigslist, and they get snapped up real fast. When there are a lot of them that go up, but they don't last more than a day or two, and then they're gone. And the price range seems to be between $400 and $500. I picked one up that had a battery grip that was, again, pristine, like not a mark on it. And I haven't really used the battery grip yet, but never having been a battery grip guy, but I could see the use with that camera because the battery life is nowhere near what I'm used to on the 60. Yes. So I do have two batteries that came with it and the grip, and I'm thinking just for the pure usefulness of not needing to be caught somewhere where, oh, I'm in the middle of something and now I need to change the battery. And I can see the putting both batteries in just helping that way.
It's also the, for on my 5D anyway, it goes from full battery to, hey, it's about to die.
Yeah.
There's nothing, there's no warning in between. There's no halfway.
Mine just started blinking and I was like, oh, great. I shot 130 pictures with it. I'm like, wow, that died pretty quickly.
And well, you also have to remember that those batteries are probably 10 years old as well.
Yeah, yes, yes. Which, and I can just Amazon pick up a new old battery.
Yeah. I suppose, or an off-brand or something like that. But you're used to with the 60 charging it, you know, on the first of every month.
Yeah.
And now it's after every use. I literally charged it before I left today.
Yeah,
to
come to the beach. And I did the same. Yeah, both batteries.
I only brought one. I only brought one with me because I figured forget it. If I burn through a battery, that's it. I'm taking too many pictures. But you like it. Now, ergonomically...
Yeah, it feels the same as the 60. Almost identical.
But you ran into a little snag.
SD cards?
No, not that. But
yeah. What was the snag?
The
back
wheel.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of a confusing on-off switch. It's got on, off, and then a third one that's got a line to it.
Extra on.
Yeah, extra on. And I was on, and then some of the functions work, but not all of them. And I, again, didn't get a manual with it. And I just figured, hey, I know how to work cameras. This shouldn't be that complicated. Mm-hmm. But nearly threw it into the ocean in frustration. And then managed to bump the button that got it all the way to on. And then said, wow, I guess that's what that line means. Is it means now we're fully working. So
it's pretty similar on the Classic, the 40D, and the 5D. Mark II, in that the on-off switch is at the back of the camera, like bottom right of the LCD screen, and it's like a toggle switch.
Yeah.
And like Adam said, it goes off, on, and then some other line that, if you look closely, the line then points
to the wheel. Yeah.
To the rear wheel.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand. Like, if you have it only in on and not the line, that back wheel just locks out.
Yeah,
it does.
But it's bizarre because in some settings it will do things like it. You can still use the wheel to change the top settings on your camera.
Really?
It just won't work like in manual mode, like you're expecting it to control like aperture, and it doesn't do that. But that's why I knew the wheel worked. It just didn't work when I'm just used to full manual and I couldn't change aperture and I was getting very frustrated. So then I was working in just AV mode going, I guess I bought an AV mode only camera. But it turns out I just didn't know how to turn the switch to the right line.
I've never come across a situation where I needed that lock function.
No. It just seems bizarre to me that it exists. Yeah.
And on the 5, the Classic especially, not so much on the other cameras, every now and then, but the 5D Classic, it is really easy to bump.
Yeah.
So I find myself all the time. So I guess they've moved it elsewhere on later.
Well, on the 60, they have a lock button that I've never used in a completely different location that's just a lock button. It's just to lock things the way you have them set, and that's it. It doesn't, it's not close, it's not associated with the on off. So I thought it was a very unusual design, which I think, again, they've moved away from.
And ergonomics are a big thing, like, because you get used to the camera, like muscle memory, and like it just, you don't even have to look. And then when you use someone else's camera, like I did today, I was I took my daughter up hiking in Lynn Valley today.
Yeah.
And came across a lady who was having trouble trying to figure out her timer on her Nikon camera.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
said, well, instead of that, what if I just take your picture for you?
Yeah.
And she said, oh, great. You know, so her and her husband, I snapped it. But again, it was a Nikon, so everything goes the other way from a Canon. So when I'm zooming in, I'm actually zooming out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's... that can slow you down.
Yeah.
But
I did. It's interesting, though, because when I talked to the guy I bought the camera from, and I was saying, like, you know, I've never really used a grip. It's not been a thing that I ever thought I needed. And he was just saying how much he loved the grip for the fact that he just found it easy to steady the camera, especially if you have a bigger lens on there. Just as a weight, it's a bigger, wider, meatier grip. Versus, you know, the top, like, you know, the 70 to 200 on your camera, if you're trying to keep that thing level, like, it's pretty heavy, and if you're not really propped yourself into a sturdy position, you can find that your shots are slightly all just leaning a little bit.
Yep.
And I've noticed that. And so he was saying, like, you know, the fellow I bought the camera from shoots surfing, and he was saying he loved the grip because basically it helped him steady the shot so that his horizon was always, you know, straight and whatnot.
I find when I mess up my horizon, I do it consistently. So I can actually copy and paste, like, all right, well, I'll straighten that by 4 degrees,
yeah,
or 2 degrees, usually something like that, like 1.6, but whatever it is, I can just copy and paste it across all the pictures. It's like, all right, there you go.
They're all just set. A little off. Yeah.
when I don't have time to get it right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Not really.
I just shot around Vancouver because obviously I'm on vacation here, and even though we're here pretty often, still such a difference to. Here's a newsflash for you. It's different than small town Germany.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not the same.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about just, no, I don't have to go to Germany.
No,
I live in Vancouver.
Not a lot of logs lying around in open places. Yeah.
We can't go down to the beach and tubing and sit on some logs. But I have been shooting around here a lot. Other than that, no, not that interesting.
Okay.
Photo challenge. It was sunset was the
yes.
photo challenge.
Yes.
That guy's not involved.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's yelling at.
Craft services. It's almost our break time.
It could be. Union rules, man.
Jackson! We're going.
Okay.
Grab your shirt.
We're losing Jackson.
Your shirt. Okay, come on.
It's all part of being at the beach.
It's all part of being at the beach. Yeah, Jackson's not wearing a shirt and he's got to go. Little tidbit for
I think
the kids.
He's having fun, though, so he might be a minute. Dad might be back.
So sunset. That, after last week's shot, I really liked the one you shot down at the dike. And I said, you know what? I want to do the exact same thing.
Let's go to the dike.
Let's do the same thing. No, let's get...
Oh, just shoot
get
sunset.
A sunset.
Yeah.
So I'll go first. Here's my sunset photo. Yeah, I know. It's hard to see out in the bright sunlight.
From what I can see, it looks like it was shot at the beach. Was it shot here?
About 8 feet from here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right over on those rocks over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. And she's doing something. There's an action there. What's associated with the action?
Oh, she's just clapping and cheering
into the wind. Okay.
Into the wind, having a good time.
Yeah, it looks like she's having a good time. It looks like you got some nice orange kind of light on her face.
It's hard to miss. At yeah. that time of day, at this location, as we're going to find out later today.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to shoot some photos. But I really wanted to do the exact photo that you shot, basically into the sunset
yeah.
And time it at the exact right second so that the sky is dark enough, the subject is lit enough without having to bounce any light. And so while we were waiting for that, I snapped this shot. However, that was the shot that... I included both of them. That was the one I was going for.
Yeah.
And it just
seems
looks
a little
fake.
Too dark, yeah.
Well, if you look at it on the... Again, outside, we're at the beach, so it's tough.
Yeah, yeah. I can't really see much of her face.
No, but you can. I promise you can, because I brought up the shadows
a whole bunch.
Took the highlights, brought them way down, and just crushed the image so that it balanced out. And in my opinion, it looks terrible.
Okay.
It's just something that... I couldn't quite get the same effect that you did, and I don't know if that's because maybe you had some natural bounce coming off some buildings or something like that from behind where you were. Like, there's houses there. Here, it's just wide open.
Yeah.
And so, just really didn't get the effect I was looking for, so that's why I ended up going with this one, which I shot the other direction. The sunset is camera left,
mm-hmm.
and just got some really nice golden light on her face against the background of the mountains.
Okay.
So, that's my photo challenge for the sunset.
Great.
All right, so have a look at yours. So it looks like your favorite couple to shoot.
Yeah, one of my. I don't think the wife has ever been in a photo challenge. I don't think I've ever used her in a photo challenge. She complains because her husband's been in a photo challenge, and she said, "When's it going to be my turn to be in a photo challenge?" So this was. We were down in Steveston at sunset. We had gone for dinner. It was their anniversary. And I said, let's, take an anniversary couple of pictures. And I'll also, use one of them for the photo challenge. And you can finally be in the photo challenge. And so they agreed. And I basically took a few different angles into the sunset. I took almost the exact same shot that I did last week, like what we talked about with the sunset in it. And it looked, quite nice, except for I felt like I didn't want to do the exact same photo that I did last time. So then I ended up saying, okay, well, how can I do sunset in a different way? So I basically ended up lighting this. So we talked about when you light sunset. And so I actually had my wife position an umbrella with an orange gelled flash at the exact angle where the sunset was coming in. And so we actually used the umbrella and blocked the sun from being in their eyes.
Okay.
So I was literally trying to mimic exactly what the sunset directional light would have been. Obviously, you're going to get slightly different tones. It was pretty orange through the sunset. So like I said, I think that's a half CTO orange.
So this isn't into the sunset?
No, this is mimicking the sunset. So the sunset's behind me.
You're mimicking an existing sunset?
Yes. I was mimicking the existing sunset mostly because they could not tolerate how bright it was.
Right.
It was too bright. So rather than that, I just basically popped the flash from the same angle with gelling the flash to try to make it the same color. And I thought, here's just another way to do sunset. All the colors in the background are completely natural from the sunset. So, like I said, not wanting to do what I did last time, I went a totally different direction. And one I knew that you probably wouldn't do, so
right.
Hence giving other ideas. And
I had brunch with them.
Oh, okay. So the other thing I found at sunset that was quite nice, and I didn't include a photo here that I really liked, was I positioned my back to the sunset and shot a few photos with just the white umbrella, the shoot through, as a filter for the bright sunset, which was, again, right in their eyes, and they couldn't keep their eyes open. So I just threw the umbrella up, again, using my wife as my light stand, and then just had that sunset run through the white umbrella, and those photos looked great, too. So
may have invented something new.
Well, I thought we should talk about it, because I thought, this is super easy. Throw a white umbrella up in front of the front of the light, and we've talked about using it in different scenarios, but I don't know that we've ever talked about specifically in sunset.
I've never done that.
We've talked about the bounce board, right?
Well, I've used the bounce board, but I've also used pulled the center of the bounce board out, and it's
white
silk.
Yeah.
And so using that as to filter the light, is fantastic.
And that's exactly the effect that you get with just the umbrella.
But this one's
one's with the flash. So I'll post one on Facebook using just the umbrella, and it looks great because you get like that, almost warm open shade look.
Yes. Well, that's what's nice about this is that it looks like this looks really good. And the instinct, first of all, the instinct at sunset is to shoot into the sunset,
right?
Which is nice. Can be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you end up lighting your subjects, and it does not look like anything that exists in nature.
Right. When you're shooting the flash into them with the sunset in behind.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct. And so what you end up getting is a really nicely lit photo that looks wildly fake.
Yeah.
And you know it. Like, it's you might like it, you might put it up on the wall, but your eye knows. Now this one, it is fake. You added light to it, but you don't really know that.
No. And the only way you know is, if you look close enough at the catch lights, that's about the only way that you might be sort of convinced that there's a little bit of trickery going on.
And again, if you look in the background, you can see the buildings lit up. That wouldn't be, they'd be on the shadow side.
Yeah.
If that's what the sunset had just gone down. But other than that, like, I actually didn't even know exactly what you had done here. I thought we waited till the sun had gone down and then lit them.
Yeah.
That was what I knew they were lit because of the nicely balanced light across them. No, that's a good technique. That's something that I'm guessing this is going to go up on their wall.
Yeah, I would think so. One of them. I sent them about 10 pictures and all different. And some of the ones you talked about with shooting into the sunset with lighting, which, again, looks good, looks cool, but just isn't right.
Right.
And I didn't choose one of those photos for that exact reason. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, they're fine. It almost looks like the background becomes fake. That's what it looks like.
At that point, I find that the best thing to do is just silhouette.
Yeah, yeah.
And say, all right, go with it. That looks like a thing. Enjoy.
Yeah, agreed.
Great. No, this is a technique that I think you can use an awful lot. Like, this is, and it's very simple to do.
Yes.
And you can just snap it off with people who want their picture taken at sunset. Well, that's it.
Wow.
That was short.
Was it?
Yeah, you need to stretch it out a little bit more.
Okay.
So I'll sing some show tunes or something.
I'll talk about my childhood.
Oh, great. No, next week.
What?
Challenge.
Was it action?
It's action. Yeah. I've noticed that trying to be more discerning about the photos I take, not just shooting everything. I try to focus on my kids doing things now. Now that they get older.
Right.
Because earlier when they were just kind of, you know, blobs that sat there.
Yeah.
You know, you just take pictures of them sitting there.
Right.
Now they run around and light stuff on fire.
Right, right.
I get to action photos. That's what I look for.
Yeah.
So action. Next week, action.
Okay.
And by next week, I mean right now yeah. on these logs right here. That's awesome. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and Two Hosers Facebook page.
That's you're flooding the Facebook.
Oh my God. I haven't taken a lot of pictures this summer that aren't for pay, and that's kind of sapping my creative fun sort of energy. Is that I look back and I was looking back in the last month and a half, and I didn't have a single snapshot of a family member or anything, and all the photos were just pertaining to weddings or stuff that I did for pay, which is good on one hand and then kind of sad on the other. So I'm going to not work for photography for a little while, I think.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
good for you. Yeah. Great. You find my stuff at alanatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links and the photos and everything we just talked about. That's
what,
it.
What about the Two Hosers t-shirts? Those flying off the shelves.
Oh, they can't keep them in stock.
Yeah.
I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah, wearing it at the beach. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.